everyone, and welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRU, the mighty 101.5 FM. And guess who I am, Mark?
You're Jim Samaria.
Very good.
Notice
good
I pronounced your name correctly.
You did very good.
After 40 years. Well, I'm Jim's co-host, Mark Plotnick. As we tell everyone each week, Jim and I bring you songs, backstories, opinions, and interviews covering all genres of rock music from the 1950s to the present.
This guy over here, Mark Plotnick, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We're authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, and our book features my photography of rock artists from 1973 to present day with words by a man who has a face for radio, the one, the only Mark Plotnick.
Well, Jim, I'll have you know that I also have a face for Zoom. See, that's what we're doing right now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm flattered that, you know, the one thing our guests always say is how much we look alike. You know, kind of like Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger and twins. Remember the movie?
Well, I got to be DeVito because he's Italian, and you could be Schwarzenegger because you're
well,
billed.
Yeah.
I mean, you are just.
I am. Danny DeVito is one of the few guys I'm actually taller than. But
yeah. Well, you're still a big guy though.
Yeah. Well,
you work out.
Yeah.
So anyway, let me ask you a question. As a young man, when you were living in Rogers Park in the 60s, what radio stations did you listen to?
Well, like everyone, I listened to WCFL and especially WLS.
WLS,
Couldn't wait for the surveys.
Oh, yeah,
couldn't
me too.
Wait.
And, you know, other than the great music they played, what else do you remember about those stations?
The DJs.
Yeah, like
you know,
who?
The names. Well, there was Ron Riley and Clark Weber. And Art Roberts from WLS and WCFL. Of course, we had the great Ron Britton, Barney Pipp, Joel Sebastian, and so on. And by the way, I think Ron Britton has a Greek restaurant in San Diego.
Let's go.
I've been there.
Oh, really?
And I said, are you the Ron Britton? And he's got all this stuff on the walls. Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's what he's doing now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, next time we go to San Diego, let's stop by
pop
and say, hey,
in.
Ron.
All right.
Well, yeah, those are all great DJs for sure, but I think you left out probably the best of all of them. The best, the real teen favorite. And who do you think that might
well,
be?
Well, come on, who doesn't know? We're only, you know, it's got to be the Wild Italian, the great Dick Biondi,
the
man.
The great Dick Biondi. He is the
come
voice.
On.
He is the voice, man, that rocked America. You know, someone should make a documentary film about him. I think that'd be pretty interesting.
Well, Jim, you are in luck because someone has done just that.
You're kidding, really?
And we have her right here.
Where?
Sort of. Well, she's in the studio, but she's on the computer screen.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Well, let's all please welcome the producer and director of the documentary film about the great Dick Biondi, Pam Police. Welcome,
hello,
Pam.
Hello, guys. Jim, Mark, it is such a pleasure to be on your show. I'm honored to be here.
Well, thank you so much. We feel the same.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pam. You know, there's no money for this, so.
Yeah, I know. Listen, there's no money making a documentary either. So.
Well, we're very glad to have you here, Pam. I've known you for quite a while, and I love your film. But before we talk about The Voice That Rocked America, the Dick Biondi story, which, by the way, there will be a sneak preview on May 21st at the Des Plaines Theater. I want to learn a little bit about you. So, Pam, how did your love of music begin?
Well, I actually was born in Elmhurst, Illinois, in the hospital there. I grew up in Villa Park, but my sister and I were born in the U.S. But then when we were kids, we moved to Australia. My mom's actually a Australian war bride from World War II.
Wow.
So we lived there for 5 years, and then we came back in 1955. I was 7 years old. It was summer, and I remember hearing the early sounds of rock and roll, and it was Chuck Berry playing, what was that song?
Maybelline?
Maybelline, thank you.
Yeah.
Boomer moment.
Yeah. Well, you know, since you really got into music because of Chuck Berry's Maybelline, I think that's a song we should play. What do you think, Mark?
It sounds good to me.
All right, here's Chuck Berry way back in 55. This is what got Pam going on rock and roll, and here is Maybelline.
It's Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started doing the things you used to do. As I was motivating over the hill, Maybelline in a coupe de ville, a Cadillac rolling on an open road, nothing I'd run my V8 for. Cadillac doing about 95, moves bumper to bumper, rolling side to side. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the thing you used to do. A Cadillac pulled up to 100.
no more. The gun got a cloud and started to rain. I tooted my horn for the passing lane. A rainwater blowing all under my hood. I knew that I was doing my motor good. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the thing you used to do. Cadillac looking like it's setting still, and I caught Maybelline at the top of the hill. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the thing you used to do.
Well, Pam, like so many of us in the mid to late 1950s, you started to get into rock and roll. So did you have a desire to learn an instrument or perhaps sing or go to sock hops, as they were called in those days? Give us a little quick bio of the young Pam.
Sure. Well, I mean, as a kid, we all learned to play the accordion. All my brothers and sisters and I did. And I played for about a year. I don't play now, but my father was a musician. He had his own band and played the piano and the drums, and then my brother eventually played the drums, and my first boyfriend, Sam, played the drums, and then I eventually picked up the drums a little bit, just for fun, and yeah, so music is in my blood, for sure.
Wow.
Did you bring the accordion with you today?
No.
Well, you had to learn all probably Italian songs, right?
Oh, I was playing Roll Out the Barrel and all those polka songs.
Beer Barrel Polka, yeah. She's too fat for me. Yeah. You know, one of my favorites. Well, first of all, excuse me, for all you youngsters in our audience, let's define what a sock hop is. It was a dance held in high school gymnasiums where you had to take off your shoes and dance in your socks. So obviously you didn't mark up the wood floor. But actually, I hope that person's not listening, but we have friends who won't let anybody wear shoes on their wood floor.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, it could be 10 degrees outside, and we got to take off our shoes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and sock hops were great because, you know, the DJs would MC them, and they'd get great bands to play there, too. So it was a great time. Well, let's continue with Pam here instead of you and me talking all the time, which we seem to tend to do a lot. And
yeah,
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, you're rambling on, man.
Well, at the start of the...
When you're talking about something you love, it's easy to keep talking.
That's true.
That's true. Well, as we started the show, there were many great DJs in Chicago in the early 60s, but why did Dick Biondi, of all those DJs, resonate with you more than the others, and how did you get to know him better?
Well, when I heard Dick Biondi on the radio for the first time, I was taken aback by this crazy, as you said, the Wild Italian. The man was so unique. He had an outrageous personality, which we had never heard of on radio. You know, these guys were like, the time now is 7 o'clock and blah, blah, blah. And along comes this guy screaming on the radio. You know, they called him the screamer, the big spaghetti slurper, and the wildlife trying. It was just goofy. And we loved him. And I ended up meeting him at a local shopping center. I had been listening for about a year. So it was the summer of 61, because it came to Chicago on May 2nd, 1960. I'll never forget it. And summer 61, I went over to my local shopping center and met Dick Biondi, and it was unbelievable. And from that moment on, and when I understood what a kind, wonderful human being he was, didn't have a big ego. He was actually, I found out later when I was researching, at that time, in 1961 and two, he was voted the number one disc jockey in America. And none of us knew that. We just loved him. He's a local guy, right? No, he went all across the country. Coast to coast, up into Canada, the signal bounced all around the world. It went to Europe. It went to ships at sea. It went down to South America. Anyway, but I fell in love with Dick, and I started a fan club for him, and I got to know him on a different level, and I've been friends with him all my life, and it's just been wonderful. I knew Dick's story, and I knew how much his presence, you know, I knew the magnitude of his presence for, you know, rock and roll. And I kept waiting. I'm thinking, you know, who's going to do a story about Dick? I mean, somebody. I asked him, you know, it was after I retired that I called him at the station. I said, Dick, has anybody approached you about doing a documentary? He said, yeah, I'm talking to some people right now. So I said, oh, good. Well, a year later, I asked him again, whatever happened to that? He said, oh, nothing. So the lights are going back here, you know, like, oh my God, somebody's got to do this. So I was already retired, but I decided that person was going to be me. So that's what happened.
Well,
long
you know,
story, right?
No, it's a long story, but it's the right story.
That's
it's
right.
Good.
Well, as you touched on, the man's personality and certainly his outrageous sense of humor certainly was a major part of his appeal. So let's play one of the songs he is most famous for. Here is a portion of the song On Top of Old Pizza.
On top of a pizza, all covered with cheese, I saw my first meatball till somebody sneezed. He rolled off the table and onto the floor. It rolled right out of the door. It rolled into the street and there it was smashed. It changed from a meatball into a pile of hash.
That hurt my ears. I'm sorry. On top of old pizza.
Yeah, they don't teach that in broadcasting school.
No. But I remember hearing that on the radio. That was great. Well, Mark, I bet you can't tell me what was the flip side of that song.
I can.
What?
Knock, Knock.
Knock. Well, let's hear Knock, Knock then.
Why not?
Okay, here's Dick Biondi also doing another song he used to do. It's called Knock, Knock.
Biondi.
Biondi who?
Biondi Blue Horizon. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
All for sure.
All for sure who?
But officer, I was only doing 40 miles an hour.
Well, that was a twin spin by Dick Biondi. Hey, that was pretty good, Jim. Thank you. Well, anyway, you are listening to that classic rock show on WHRU, Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, where we play the greatest music of all time.
Well, Jim, there isn't a Biondi fan who doesn't remember these corny bits. I'll call them corny, but they were fun. But what really defined this man, and Pam has already touched on this, was his impact on the early years of rock and roll. So, Pam, let's get back to you. Tell us why Dick Biondi was so influential to the music industry back then.
Well, Dick was playing music before rock and roll even began, actually. He started out in 1950, right out of high school, and went down to Alexandria, Louisiana, and started playing race music. He was playing some of the greats before they were famous, like Fats Domino. And he eventually met Little Richard and introduced him. And we have, in the film, we talk about, you know, his impact on Little Richard. You know, and then he went on to introduce Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Bobby Rydell, Frankie Avalon, Frankie Valli. I mean, the list goes on and on. Eventually, the Beach Boys, you know, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. So Dick's introduced just about everybody in rock and roll.
Well, one of my favorites you just mentioned was Little Richard, and he had his own version of Knock Knock, but he called it Keep a Knockin'. So we're going to play that song, and just think back, folks. This is what Dick Biondi played way back when in the 50s, when a lot of stations weren't playing it, and Dick Biondi was so ahead of his time. So here's Little Richard doing Keep a Knockin'.
Keep a knockin', but you can't come in. Keep a knockin', but you can't come in. Keep a knockin', but you can't come in. Come back tomorrow night and try it again. You said you love me and you can't come in. You said you love me and you can't come in. Woo! You said you love me and you can't come in. Come back tomorrow night and try it again. Woo!
That song is fantastic. I love it. Keep a Knockin' by Little Richard, everybody. Well, Dick Biondi was not only a favorite with the kids, with the teens, but also these artists love him too. And he became best friends of somebody in the business, and that was Bobby Darin. Can you tell us a little bit about his relationship with Bobby Darin?
Sure. Bobby and Dick were very close. And they every time Bobby came to town, he would come by Dick's house. They would have dinner. They would hang out. And Bobby actually brought some medals that were blessed by the Pope for Dick, and which he cherishes. To this day, he carries those medals with him. So he and Bobby were very close. And the day that Bobby died, Dick was supposed to go see him, and he didn't. He wasn't able to. He said, but I'll come by tomorrow. And that never happened. And I think he's still to this day. It really upsets him.
Well, did they hang out and stuff?
Well, when Bobby first started, he was very virtually unknown. He came to Dick's sock hops in Youngstown, Ohio. That's where Dick introduced a lot of those early rock and rollers like Bobby Rydell and Frank Avalon and all those guys. That's what he actually got Bobby started, and Bobby never forgot that. So.
Well, one of my favorite songs, speaking of Bobby Darin, one of my favorite songs is Mac the Knife. I think everyone loves that song. So to honor Dick and his good buddy, let's play Mac the Knife. And Mr. Samaria, our producer, is silencing your mic because I know you can't resist singing along.
Oh, the shark has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white.
You know, that was one of your best performances.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey,
I'm here all week.
Wow.
Tip your waitresses.
All right, I was going to tell Jim Eggers to cut your mic, but you know what? We may have you sing more in the future. Well,
okay.
Thankfully, here is the real Bobby Darin's version of Mac the Knife.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bite with its teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, where's old Maggie Heath, babe? So there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. Eek! And someone sneaking round the corner. Could that someone be Mac the Knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know, where a cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the weight there. Five will get you ten, old Mackie's back in town. Not to hear about Louis Miller, he disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie spins just like a sailor. Could it be our boy's done something rash? Yes, a tawdry. Ooh, Miss Lottie Lenya and old Lucy Brown. Oh, the line forms on the right, babe. Now that Maggie's back in town. I said, Jenny Diver, whoa, Suki Tawdry. Look out to Miss Lottie Lenya and old Lucy Brown. Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Love Bobby Darin. That was Mac the Knife, everyone. Well, Pam, back in February of 63, Biondi had the distinction of playing for the first time in the USA a song by this unknown band from this town, in very small town in England called Liverpool. Why don't you fill us in on that unknown band at that time?
Yeah, it was in February of 1963 that Dick played the very first Beatles record in the US. It was called Please Please Me. And it was a year before the Beatles actually became popular in the United States when they went on the Ed Sullivan Show. So Dick was way ahead of his time. And it just so happened that the record label that was playing the Beatles at that time was VJ Records in Chicago. So it was just a natural for them to walk that record over to Dick's studio, which they would always do. Frankie Valli was on the same label. So Frankie has a great association with Dick and the city of Chicago as well. But yeah, it was just, you know, wonderful. And the thing is, it didn't really go over that well, but he kept playing it. And it actually got onto the WLS survey. And it was on there for a couple of weeks, and it kept going. It moved up, and then it sort of died. So it wasn't until, like I said, a year later, when Dick was, at that time, he had gone out to KRLA. And that's when the Beatles actually hit, and that's when Dick actually introduced them.
And do you have any idea why that song resonated with him?
You know, he told me that he thought it was a good song. It was different, but it had a good sound. And he just believed in it. So, I mean, Dick would always try to play a song that he liked. So that's all I can tell you.
Well, we're going to play the song, Pam, but I don't want to introduce it. I want you to give me your best Dick Biondi impersonation and introduce Please Please Me by the Beatles.
Me?
You.
I'm going to be a DJ?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's hear it.
All right. I got a new song for you. Listen up. Here they are, the Beatles.
Yay.
Come on, 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 come on
Well, that was, of course, the Beatles with Please Please Me. And we hope you have enjoyed part one of that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRU 101.5 FM. Please stay tuned for part two, where we will continue our conversation with Pam Police, the producer, director of the film, the voice that rocked America, the Dick Biondi story.